This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Mr. Franken comes to Washington for lunch. Congressman Abercrombie will run for governor in Hawaii and the politics of pork, Chekhov, and stem cells. It's Wednesday, and time once again for a visit with the political junkie.
There you go again.
That's when I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad. Where's the beef?
Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
Lipstick.
But I'm the decider. Ah!
On Wednesdays, NPR political editor Ken Rudin joins us to talk politics. Since we last convened a month ago, the president signed the budget bill and pledged big changes next time. He also hosted a healthcare summit, restored federal funds for stem cell research, and, then he announced education policies unions don't like while the Senate considered the employee free choice bill, which unions like a lot. In a few minutes, we'll focus on Pennsylvania, where moderate Republican Senator Arlen Specter may face a conservative challenge in the 2010 primary, but we begin, as always, with a trivia question. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us here in Studio 3A. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Neil. In that month since we've last seen each other, the stock market has taken a tumble, and I think it's not a coincidence.
Oh, yeah, it could be. Now it's going to, well, yesterday, just in anticipation. Well, anyway.
Exactly. Well, okay, trivia question is, okay, we're going to be talking later about the Minnesota, the unresolved, still unresolved Senate race in Minnesota between Norm Coleman and Al Franken. Both of them are Jewish Americans. Okay, besides that Minnesota example, what's the most recent time when two Jews ran against each other for the Senate?
If you think you know the answer, the most recent occasion on which two Jewish Americans ran against each other for the United States Senate, give us a call. Our phone number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And Ken, the question was going to be, when was the last time a Marvel character ran for Congress?
Because why?
Because, well, there's a no prize that we give out every week when somebody answers the trivia
question. This week?
And this week we actually have a prize.
We have a prize. Well,
the no prize originated with Marvel Comics, and when somebody answered a trivia question correctly the first time you were on the air, I think I just went up with no prize, and we've awarded it every week since. But we actually have a prize now.
And actually, there are Marvel characters who have run for Congress. Actually, there was a Republican named Peter Parker who ran in Maryland in 1970, did not win. And there wasn't a Spider-Man, but Jim Webb was elected to the Senate. So.
And Professor X ran in Harlem.
Exactly. Yeah, right,
there
exactly.
You go. And let's see. So if you get the correct answer, the last time two Jewish Americans ran against each other for the United States Senate, you'll get a fabulous no prize T-shirt.
And you can see that T-shirt worn by Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio on the Political Junkie blog right now.
At the NPR Talk of the Nation website.
You have your own
we
website?
We have our own dueling websites here.
Okay. Right. Okay.
But you can go to npr.org/talk or to npr.org/politicaljunkie and see Leo and Brad modeling the new T-shirt. Anyway, as we get back to
reality.
The spending bill passed today. Thousands of last-minute measures inserted by members of Congress, the House and the Senate, what we usually call to pork.
Right. Well, actually passed yesterday, and it was signed by President Obama today, and he said it was not a perfect bill, and there are a lot of earmarks, 8,570 to be exact, totaling $7.7 billion out of $410 billion spending bill. This was John McCain's pet project, and we probably heard more about John McCain than we have in a long time, certainly since the election. He's been always campaigning against earmarks, but then again, it's only less than 2% of the total bill. Having said that, it passed yesterday. Interesting fact here, of the 178 Republicans in the House, only 39 did not have earmarks. So it's not just Democrats who have put earmarks in the bill. And, of course, they are mostly Democrats. But both parties have put their favorite pork projects or earmarks, whatever you want to call it, into the bill.
And the president said, this time is the last time, except maybe not.
Well, except in fairness, this spending bill was the Congress and the Bush administration were unable to get it to put it together last year because of partisan politics and all that. So this is really only to the end of September 30th of this year. The new fiscal plan, the new spending bill comes out October 1st, and President Obama promised it would be a cleaner bill.
Let's see if we can get some listeners now on the line. They think they know the answer to our trivia question. Again, the last two Jewish Americans to run against each other in the general election for United States Senate. Let's see if we can go to Robert with us from Boston.
Yeah, hi. I'll tell you the answer.
I told your screener what I said. If I make it on the air, I may think of something between now and then.
Okay, well.
Which I did.
What was your first answer?
The first answer I had was, as I'm a New Yorker, Jacob Javits and Elizabeth Holtzman. That was the election that brought, what's his name?
Al D'Amato.
Senator Pothole, yes.
To the Senate. Now, that certainly is a case that fits your criteria, but I'm wondering when Lieberman ran against Ned Lamont, who I don't think was Jewish, the Republican candidate may have been Jewish.
That's correct. You're absolutely correct, but it's not the final answer.
Still not the final answer.
Joe Lieberman did run against Alan Schlesinger, the Republican nominee in 2006 in Connecticut, but that is not the answer we're looking for.
Unbelievable.
Nice try, though, Robert.
Okay.
Give you double dip, two bites at the apple.
No T-shirt for him.
No T-shirt for him. Let's go to Paul. Paul with us from Chapel Hill in North Carolina.
Well, I have a feeling I'm not right, but I was going to say Rudy Boschwitz and Paul Wellstone.
Well, you're right and maybe not so right.
Exactly. They are two Jews who did run against each other both in 1990 and a rematch in 1996. It's very unusual that candidates do have Senate rematches, but not the most recent candidate, not the most recent occurrence.
Boschwitz sent out a letter telling his voters that Wellstone was the bad Jew.
Well, actually, Wellstone's wife was not Jewish. Of course, both perished in this horrific plane crash in 2002. But I do remember people saying that he was not exactly a true Jew because he married out of his faith, which was a little over the top, shall we say.
Yeah.
Paul, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And we got a couple of emails from Ellen. Again, Wellstone Boschwitz, that's incorrect. And Jim sent Javits and Holtzman in New York. Of course, it would have been three if D'Amato had just converted. Let's see if we can go
right.
to...
He did use a Jewish word when he described Chuck Schumer as a putzhead during the 1998 campaign, if you remember
what
that.
What command of Yiddish. Let's go to Jerry. Jerry with us from Hamden, Connecticut.
Hey, guys. The earlier caller stole my thunder, but now I'm going to switch my guess because I originally had a wrong guess. I'm going to go with Wellstone against Coleman.
Wellstone against Coleman.
Well, that's the one we started at. We said besides that one. Of course, Coleman was that one, but besides, except that Minnesota example, what's the most recent case?
I'm going for Klempt. Can't figure.
Thanks, Jerry.
Who knew?
Let's see if we can go to Bill, and Bill's calling from Cranberry, New Jersey.
Yes, hi, Neil. I think it might be a Frank Lautenberg against Dick Zimmer.
That's exactly right.
Ding, 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 2008.
Both Franken Coleman and Lautenberg Zimmer in New Jersey were 2008. The only difference is that we do know we have a winner in New Jersey.
We have a winner in New Jersey. So, Bill, stay on the line. We're going to put you on hold. You're the first winner of the fabulous Political Junkie No Prize.
I can't wait to get it.
See if I can hit the right button here. All right, Bill's on hold. All right, Ken, let's get back to the news. And, the congressman from Hawaii, Neil Abercrombie, says, doesn't spell his first name right, but anyway, he's going to run for governor in Hawaii, apparently thinking that you have to be over 70 to hold a major job in Hawaii.
Well, he is over. He's like 70 years old, right?
Yes, I think he is.
And, of course, he's the young guy in Hawaii, given the fact that Daniel Lakaka and I think Daniel Inouye are both 84 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a youth movement going on in Hawaii. Now, Linda Lingle, who also is Jewish, by the way, she is a two-term Republican governor who is can't run again in 2010 because of term limits.
Now, we've seen the healthcare summit at the White House. We've seen the president declare new education policies. We've seen the president work on any number of fronts. Of course, we mentioned the budget bill signed earlier today. A lot of criticism of the president from some in Congress that, hey, we've got an economic crisis going on. You need to focus laser-like on the banking system and credit, and let's leave some of these other things for later.
Well, there are two sides of this story. Obviously, some people are saying that you should just focus on one and hopefully get that accomplished, like the bailout of the financial industry or healthcare or something like that. Barack Obama, to his credit, some people say, given the fact that he did have somewhat of a mandate in 2008, that he's trying to tackle all these things at once. Now, we always hear that you can't deal with these problems because an election is coming up. Well, Barack Obama, I guess, you know, as George W. Bush said in 2004, I have political capital, I intend to use it, and he intends to use it in all these packages. But if you think of the financial bailout and the economic stimulus package and now this omnibus package, you know, we're boys on the omnibus, it comes to like $2 trillion. And so that is some Republicans are saying, oh my goodness, this is insane. Of course, many of these Republicans were very, very quiet during the last 8 years of the Bush administration.
And we mentioned Senator Franken coming to Washington. He just attended a Democratic Democratic luncheon for the caucus up on Capitol Hill. Is there any progress to report on in Minnesota?
There is, but probably not anytime soon, but there is progress, and the fact is that Al Franken has probably going to wrap up his argument. He only took a week. Norm Coleman took 5 weeks before this three-judge panel. The Minnesota Supreme Court appointed a three-judge panel to hear it. Norm Coleman is protesting that about 1,700 rejected absentee ballots should be counted. Now, the official count right now is that Franken leads by 225 votes, so theoretically, out of that 1,725, it could turn the result around. Now, the three-judge panel has rejected most of Coleman's claims, and ultimately, I suspect that the three-judge panel may announce a decision next week. If that's the case, if they say that, sorry, Norm, you don't have enough votes, it's very possible that then the Democrats in the Senate will try to seat Al Franken. Now, that doesn't mean the election is over. Norm Coleman will most likely appeal to the state Supreme Court, and if that fails, to the U.S. Supreme Court. But that's not going to inhibit Harry Reid and the Democrats from, they desperately need that extra vote, that 59th vote. And so it's very possible that Franken could be seated as early as next week if the three-judge panel rules in Franken's favor.
And then they would have to issue a declaration that he had been elected.
Exactly right. But Norm Coleman, that's not the end of the story. There could be more and more appeals.
And Roland Burris, is he going to still be there when Al Franken takes his seat?
Just regarding this, by the way, today is day 127 since the election. Minnesota held hostage. I think Ted Koppel would be a great show for Ted Koppel. Roland Burris is not going anywhere, even though more and more Democrats have actually backed away from their demand or suggestion that he resign. But there are more and more Democrats more likely than ever to challenge Burris should Burris run for election next year, which is unlikely.
Well, speaking of challenges, we're going to focus on primary elections in 2010 coming up. And you say, what? Next election cycle, there are already plenty of candidates announcing their plans. They've got to raise a lot of money if they're going to be challenging, especially incumbents. So in primary elections where you live, who's challenging who and why in the Democratic and Republican primary elections? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. We'll focus on Pennsylvania. Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington, and Ken Rudin is with us, our political junkie and NPR's political editor. You can catch his regular blog posts at npr.org. And Ken, it feels as if we just got through one election season and the ground is already being laid for the next round of primaries in Pennsylvania. Longtime Republican Senator Arlen Specter may face a challenge from a more conservative candidate or two in the primary there in 2010. He was one of only three Republican senators who supported President Obama's economic stimulus package. The move divided Republicans in his home state. Challenges are also popping up in other states. What's happening where you live? Who is challenging whom in the primaries and why? Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, or zap us an email. The email address is talk@npr.org. John Delano is a political analyst for KDKA-TV in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where he's also a columnist for the Pittsburgh Business Times. He joins us today from a studio at KDKA News Radio. John, nice to have you on the program today.
Neil and Ken, it's great to be with both of you.
And how have Republicans in Pennsylvania reacted since Senator Specter declared his support for the stimulus package?
Well, you know, Senator Specter is in the unenviable position of being the only one of those three Republicans who joined the Democrats to be up for election next year. And so the consequence is all eyes of the nation have really focused on Arlen Specter and on whether or not conservative Republicans in particular, can defeat him when he runs for his party's nomination in May of 2010. That's not that many months away. And as some of your listeners, I'm sure, are aware of, really, Arlen Specter just barely won. He had the scare of his life when former U.S. Congressman Pat Toomey came within 17,000 votes of defeating him in a primary where over a million Republicans cast ballots. So there's an awful lot of interest among certainly the active Republican Party members, a lot of focus, a lot of talk, a lot of concern among conservative Republicans that Arlen Specter is really not a Republican any longer. They cite that Obama vote, that stimulus vote, and I think the knives are out in Pennsylvania.
Ken?
John, I agree with everything you said. Now, of course, 5 years ago, back in 2004, Arlen Specter also had the support of President Bush, who was still popular, and Rick Santorum, who was still in office. And both Bush and Santorum are now gone, so Specter doesn't even have that anymore.
That's exactly right, Ken. There's no doubt that he is weaker in terms of the political support level that's out there. His best support comes from the Democrats. Barack Obama likes the guy, and so does Governor Ed Rendell. The problem is they're both Democrats, and they have absolutely zilch influence in the Republican primary in May of 2010.
Let's get a caller on the line, and this is Steve. Steve with us from Philadelphia.
Hi. I apologize. I'm on my Bluetooth, but I'm driving, so I need to leave it on. I'm a Democrat, and I would definitely support Arlen Specter if he made it to the general election, but I know some people now are suggesting that he might even go as far as to switch parties so that he can avoid that primary battle with Toomey, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
John Delano, any possibility there?
Well, certainly the governor jokingly has asked the senator to consider doing that. I don't know how serious that is, to be absolutely honest, and Arlen Specter has given absolutely no indication that he would switch parties. He really has made his bed in the Republican Party for so many years. I think it's unlikely that he would switch. If anything, you could imagine perhaps, I can't even imagine him running as an independent. I think the fact is that his future will lie, frankly, in getting some of the Democrats to switch back to the Republican Party. There's been a loss of Republicans, particularly, Steve, in your area, Philadelphia, in the suburbs of Philadelphia, where a number of Republicans registered as Democrats over the last year or so, in part to participate in the presidential primary. If some of those Democrats go back to the Republican Party in order to help Arlen Specter, that could make a difference, perhaps. But I don't think there's much likelihood that Arlen Specter is going to switch parties.
Steve, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks.
One thing to add on that, and actually there was a question on that in my Political Junkie blog today. Did I tell you I write a Political Junkie blog?
Yeah, it's apparently at npr.org.
Yeah, that's correct, yes. Well, anyway, somebody wrote in and asked whether if Arlen Specter were to lose the primary, would he do what Joe Lieberman did in Connecticut in 2006, switch and become an independent and run in November?
It's against the law.
It's against Pennsylvania law, exactly that. And, John, as you well remember, Arlen Specter used to be a Democrat back in the 60s.
Way back when the Democratic Party would not embrace him, he switched to the Republican Party to win office as district attorney of Philadelphia. But he's been a Republican for decades and decades and decades, and he really doesn't have that Lieberman option. Pennsylvania changed that law actually as a result of the race of Mayor Dick Caligiuri in Pittsburgh, and it's a fascinating political saga that some of your listeners might enjoy hearing, but I won't take up much time. The bottom line is that when Caligiuri lost the Democratic primary, he ran as an independent and actually beat the Democratic nominee. And the parties were so incensed, the Democratic Party was so incensed about this, they changed the state law to absolutely prohibit anybody who loses a primary from turning around and running as an independent.
Let me ask you, Joe, though, if Arlen Specter is vulnerable in the Republican primary to a more conservative candidate, maybe, does anybody in the Republican Party think a more conservative senatorial candidate is more likely to win in the general election against presumably a more liberal Democrat?
Well, it's a very good question, because one of the arguments that Arlen Specter has going for him is that he really is the strongest Republican to keep the Republican seat in the U.S. Senate. And as your caller Steve indicated, Democrats who support Specter are all over the place. Yet you can't get to that ballot in November unless you win the primary in May. And I personally, again, think that Arlen Specter is a great general election candidate. He would probably win re-election if he is renominated, but his hard problem is going to be in the Republican primary.
And Ken, as Arlen Specter continues to fight that battle, a lot of the battle is going to be about money. John Delano, are people raising money to run against him already?
Well, you know, what the big unanswered question right now is, what is Pat Toomey going to do? Pat Toomey, the former congressman who came within an eyelash of beating Specter 5 years ago, is now the head of the Club for Growth. Some of your listeners will know this is a conservative economic-based group that really is outraged over President Obama's stimulus package. And Pat Toomey was toying first with the idea of running for governor. But in the last few days, the last week, he has given signals that he is now thinking of running for the U.S. Senate instead. The conservatives in Pennsylvania, conservative Republicans, really, really want him to run again. They believe he is the conservative option. So I do think that we must wait and see whether or not Toomey's going to do it. I think we're going to know fairly quickly. In the meantime, another conservative who actually is not known nationally but has some name recognition in Pennsylvania, a woman by the name of Peg Luksig. Peg Luksig is an ardent pro-lifer, anti-abortion candidate who made a name for herself when she ran in a Pennsylvania Republican primary in 1990 and got 45% of the vote against a pro-choice Republican-endorsed candidate for governor, then Republican State Treasurer Barbara Hafer. Now, the fact is that Luksig all of a sudden became a star among conservatives, and she is somebody who has run as an independent for governor in Pennsylvania. She actually holds the state record for the most votes as an independent candidate for governor, albeit only 13% of the vote. But she is someone who has just said she is going to run against Arlen Specter, which really is interesting because if she does that and stays as a candidate and Pat Toomey decides to run, Arlen Specter might have the wonderful position of having a split conservative opponent or opposition to him, and he could squeak right back in.
John Delano, thanks very much for your time. I'm sure we'll be back in touch as that primary approaches.
There's a lot of action in Pennsylvania, and always glad to be with you guys.
John Delano, a political analyst for KDKA-TV and a columnist for the Pittsburgh Business Times, with us today from KDKA Radio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we have callers from other states where primaries are also heating up. And let's begin with Jonathan. Jonathan with us from Yates Center in Kansas.
Hey, how you doing today?
Very well, thanks.
I've got a governor here that's getting ready to move on to the Health and Human Services.
And Governor Sebelius is coming to Washington, yep.
And that's going to open up for a longtime congressional candidate, Todd Tehart, to run for governor probably as a Republican. And even that will open up lesser spots going down the line. And I guess my question revolves around even the Democrats out here, a lot of them, not all, are more conservative. And what is the Democratic Party as it grows with more conservative Democrats, be they here or in Montana or even in Pennsylvania? How are they going to open up the party's delegate positions? What are they going to do when guys like me start screaming, hey, I want to be heard, I'm in favor of gun rights, I might be pro-choice, but I believe in some regulation and no paying out tax dollars for it, you know? They've got a really hard motion to the right from what most of us see as delegates that are way to the left right now.
As the Democratic Party expands its majorities in Congress, Ken Rudin, a lot of the new members or newer members aren't from the more liberal wing of the party.
But what's fascinating about the Kansas situation is that one of the reasons Kathleen Sebelius was elected in 2002 as governor is because even though the Democratic Party may have been somewhat conservative, the Republican Party was off the charts conservative. There was a strong Christian conservative take over the Republican Party. Matter of fact, she got the chairman of the Republican Party to run as her lieutenant governor, which showed how much the Republican Party was split. So I know there are a lot of people, a lot of liberals, who say that the Democratic Party may be moving too much away from their base, moving too much toward the center, towards the right. The problem, I think, with many Republicans is that their party has even moved even further to the right, which allowed somebody like Sebelius to win.
Jonathan, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to Tara. Tara's with us from Burlington, Kentucky.
How are you today?
Very well, thanks.
We've got an interesting race shaping up here for 2010 with Senator Jim Bunning.
Oh, boy, do you.
He has made just a lot of bizarre comments lately, bizarre behavior, questions about whether he's committed to raise money. And I think there's just a real question that he's either not going to run, or if he does, he's got a pretty strong challenger in Dan Mongiardo.
Ken?
Well, Dan Mongiardo is a guy who kept Bunning to, I think, a 52-48 victory 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
Very close.
And the problem is, but I think the problem for Jim Bunning now is not only the Democratic Party, but the Republicans are really, like Mitch McConnell and other Republicans, may feel that Bunning has been too eccentric, to, as you say, not willing to raise or not able to raise the kind of money needed to win re-election, but also they are just kind of like rolling their eyes at the kind of statements that Bunning has said about the health of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the fact that he said, or maybe didn't say, but it's been reported to have said, that I'll just quit my Senate seat and let the Democratic governor name a Democratic replacement, and I'll show those Republicans.
And the most recent thing was he's paid to have a statewide poll on his re-election, and then is refusing to discuss the results and basically telling the reporters it's none of your blanking business.
You know, there are five other Republican senators who are not running for re-election, and many Republicans are upset about that, but I suspect that other Republicans would love for Bunning to join that list, because I think that he may not be the strongest Republican in November. But again, some of the options are more liberal. Some conservatives say that Bunning has always been strong with them, that he was right on the economy, he was right on the bailouts and things like that. So the Republican Party looks like it's going to be in a tough position to hold that seat next year.
Well, it's funny that McConnell seems to be kind of distancing himself from him, and conventional wisdom around here is that if you don't have his support, you're not going to get too far.
And Bunning was probably reelected 5 years ago because of McConnell.
Exactly.
And both of those guys know how to play hardball. All right, let's, Tara, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate
it. Sir.
We're talking with political junkie Ken Rudin. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Andy's with us. Andy on the line from Boise.
Yes, I am. What I wanted to talk about, the race that I think the most interesting in Idaho is that we had John McCain won the presidential election here 2-1 over President Obama. And yet we had a first-time, very, very conservative Republican congressman, Bill Sally, who was ousted by a moderate Democrat.
Former Republican.
Walt Minnick, who ran as a Democrat, and then they're wondering if he is a Republican.
Ken?
Are you familiar with this race?
Absolutely. I mean, Minnick actually had been a Republican who switched to the Democratic Party when he ran for the Senate, I think in 96. What's interesting about that race is Bill Sally was not defeated because he was so conservative, but as we see with Jim Bunning, that so many Republicans didn't like him. He was outrageous. He alienated so many people when he was in the state legislature. So a lot of it is not just ideology, it's personal relationships.
Well, then the question is, because Minnick voted against the stimulus package with the other three Republicans out of Idaho. And so the question now is he, will the Republicans support him, you know, in 2010, and will the Democrats support him?
It's hard to tell D's and R's without programs anymore. That's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And though he was not the only Democrat to vote against the president's package.
But only one of 11, and that's not many.
That's not many. Andy, thanks very much for the phone call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let's see if we can get one on from Anchorage. This is Chantel calling us from Alaska.
Hi. There's no primary yet in the Republican Party here in Alaska, but, of course, we have Senator Lisa Murkowski and maybe a potential candidate in Sarah Palin. I know that she hasn't really spoken about wanting this seat, but I read in the newspaper, and we were actually in D.C. during the inauguration, and that was Lisa Murkowski, but previous to that, we had read that she had basically said to Palin, hands off of my Senate seat, and the way to, you know, a higher elected office is not through my seat in the Senate. That's going to be very interesting if Governor Palin decides to run.
Well, remember, Sarah Palin came to national prominence, or at least Alaska prominence, by beating Lisa Murkowski's father, Frank Murkowski, in 2002 in the primary, 2006, I'm sorry, in the primary. So Lisa Murkowski, I mean, I don't think they'll run against each other. And I know Sarah Palin does have designs on the White House, the presidential nomination in 2012. Can't believe we're talking about 2012 already. But one of the ways she may have to do it is through Lisa Murkowski. And if that happens, I suspect it doesn't, but if it does, that's going to be another Republican bloodbath.
Right. We believe so here in Alaska, but I'm not a registered Republican, but it ought to be interesting.
Well, you know, there's no place like Nome.
Right.
Chantel, thanks very much for the call. We apologize for the pun. And here's an email question. This from Ginger in Missouri. How do we find out which congressmen / women tack their pet projects and how much money they want? This in terms of the earmarks in the bill, a $410 billion bill that the president signed earlier today.
I don't have the website in front of me, but I think if you go to Taxpayers for Common Sense, they are probably the best group I've seen to label who has what earmarks in the bill.
Because one of the problems with earmarks is it's really hard to figure out.
Well, yes, exactly. And, of course, not all earmarks, just like, you know, I hate Congress, but I love my congressman. Everybody else's is pork, but mine is, you know, special spending for my district.
Ken Rudin, NPR's political editor and our political junkie, joined us here in Studio 3A, as he does every Wednesday. You can read his political junkie blog at npr.org, which, of course, today features Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio styling the new Talk of the
incredible
Nation No Prize t-shirts. It's incredible how we got those, how we got their agents to cooperate. Ken, as always, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Neil.
Coming up, we know the economy is bad today, but how will this recession change our lives and our values over the long run? Tell us how the recession has changed the way you think and what you expect if you play by the rules and work hard in America these days. Give us a call. 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.